Yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Shigram Vaishnavam Cha Shirupam Sagradatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Vitam Cha Hey Krishna Karna Sindhu Hilabandha Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhana Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Dobre Doshne Govardhan Nectar of Instruction, text number 7. Sat Krishna Nama Charitari Sitaptya Vidya Pito Patapta Rasanasya Narochikanu Ken Vadarat Anudinam Kalasaiva Dushta Swadvi Kramad Bhavati Takada Mulahantri. The holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendently sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. Supra's purport. The holy name of Lord Krishna, his quality, pastimes, and so forth, are all of the nature of absolute truth, beauty, and bliss. Naturally, they're very sweet, like sugar candy, which appeals to everyone. Nations, however, is compared to the disease called jaundice, which is caused by bilious secretions. Attacked by jaundice, the tongue of a diseased person cannot palatably relish sugar candy. Rather, a person with jaundice considers something sweet that tastes very bitter. Avidya, ignorance, simply perverts the ability to relish the transcendently palatable name, quality, form, and pastimes of Krishna. Despite this disease, if one with great care and attention takes the Krishna consciousness, chanting the holy name and hearing Krishna's transcendental pastimes, his ignorance will be destroyed and his tongue enabled to taste the sweetness of the transcendental nature of Krishna and his paraphernalia. Such recovery of spiritual health is possible only by the regular cultivation of Krishna consciousness. When a man in the material world takes more interest and a materialistic way of life, then in Krishna consciousness, he is considered to be in a diseased condition. The normal condition is to remain an eternal servant of the Lord. Jivara Srupahoy Krishnera Nityadas. Madhya Lila 20.108. This healthy condition is lost when the living entity forgets Krishna due to being attracted by the external features of Krishna's Maya energy. This world of Maya is called Dharashaya, which means false or bad shelter. One who puts his faith in Dharashaya becomes a candidate for hoping against hope. In the material world, everyone is trying to become happy. And although their material attempts are baffled in every way, due to their nescience, they cannot understand their mistakes. People try to rectify one mistake by making another mistake. This is the way of the struggle for existence in the material world. If one in this condition is advised to take to Krishna consciousness and be happy, he does not accept such instructions. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vristaya Bhutaye Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swayantanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gorvani Vrsharane Nirvishesha Shinivadi Paskatyade Sakarne. Here Prabhupada states that Krishna's nature is the absolute truth, beauty, and bliss. So Krishna is Sat, Chit, Ananda, and full, that is, unlimited. So everyone is looking for peace, that is, security, peace, some kind of stability. Everyone is looking for knowledge of how to obtain that peace. And everyone is looking for knowledge when we do become peaceful, how to become blissful and happy. So our first business in the material world is trying to find security. Because unless there's security, unless there's peace, we can't enjoy any kind of happiness very easily. But Krishna's nature is unlimited security, peace, happiness, and awareness. So when we become conscious of Krishna, then we actually become aware of real security, because we become aware that we're eternal. And we have an eternal loving relationship with Krishna, who is the nature of unlimited pleasure. Plus his associate, when we say Krishna, we mean Krishna plus all his associates and their eternal loving exchanges with each other. But in the material world, we have one thing that causes us problems, is that we're attached to the material conceptions of life that are flowing through our consciousness. That if we became a blank slate, as Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj was saying today, without becoming a blank slate, because now we're thinking, aham car, I am this car, I am this body. And because of that, we have so many worries, and so many plans, so many objectives. And we have a whole conception of what we think is going on here in relationship to my body. In other words, as I've said before, we've taken this body as our worshipful deity. And we actually have faith that somehow or another, if we make this body comfortable, if we make this body the object of other people's appreciation and service, then I can actually become peaceful and happy that way. Unfortunately, since the body is only temporary, no one can save it. No matter how much they like us, how much they want to save us, it's not possible to save this body. A Prabhupada was sick. Apparently, his body was apparently sick. His Prabhupada's body was transcendental, and it was all part of Leela. But those who have seen Prabhupada's photos in 1977, especially later on, that he was literally skin and bones. And he's surrounded by his disciples. The oldest, probably the oldest devotee there was maybe 30 years old, considered an old man. 30 years old was, it was practically, you were born back in the time of the pyramids. And Prabhupada said to them, don't think that this will not happen to you. They were thinking, oh, Prabhupada's going to leave us. But, of course, Prabhupada's transcendental, but still, everyone has to face the same challenge. This body is temporary. And no matter how much people want us to stay, they may take hold of our arm or our hand and say, don't go, don't go. I don't want to go, but I don't think I have a one-way, I have a ticket out. I don't think I can miss the train. So no matter how much people want us to stay, as Krishna says, or Shukadeva Goswami says, Deha Patya Kalatradishu Atma Sanyesha Satsupi Tesham Pramato Nidanam Pashanapi Napashati. Why are these houses? Why are people constructing houses? Why are they getting married? Why are they having children? Why do they even get these animals like the dog? Because sometimes you get a dog because it's nice and fluffy or something. Put it on your bed and fluff. Feel the fluff. But generally people get animals because they hope, he'll protect me, Fido will always help me. If someone comes, Fido will bite them. And my wife, she loves me, she won't let the Yamadutas take me away. And my children will jump on them. And my house has a big locks on it that Yamadutas will never get in. So people are hoping that this is some kind of security, and indeed it is some kind of security, but it's not very much security to protect us at least from death and old age and disease. And then when we leave this body, we can't choose where we're going. We can't say, well, I wouldn't mind becoming Indra. Okay, no worries. You can become Indra. What about the sun god? No, no, I'll just take Indra, that's all. Well, I'm sorry, you're destined to become a mouse. A mouse? No, that's not possible. Can you look up the... Because it's a joke, I've said it before, but we'll say, oh, it's just, it's not in Shastra, by the way. That one day, there was this man, he wouldn't give anyone a donation. He was so miserly. He kept all the money for his own personal benefit. But he heard from reliable sources that if you give a donation to the church, then you are guaranteed to go to heaven. So he said, why not? A small donation. So he gave five euros to the priest, and he asked for a donation, for a receipt. Receipt said, the priest said, we don't give receipts for 5 euros. He said, no, I gave you 5 euros, you have to give me a receipt. So the priest said, all right, we'll make an exception. So he wrote out a receipt for 5 euros. And time came, he had to quit his body. He quit his body and he's on the line for judgment. There is Peter at the pearly gates, and he had the book of judgment and is judging people, sending them to heaven or hell. Hell. Finally, his turn came. Peter looked up in the record and said, sorry, you're supposed to go to hell. Wait a second, you got it wrong. And he takes out his receipt, and so attached to it, he even brought it for judgment. He said, look, I gave the priest 5 euros. They guaranteed I was going to heaven. So Peter said, well, I never heard that before. It says in the book, you're supposed to go to hell. Maybe we can give you a discount, but sorry. He said, no, they told me that if I give a donation, I'm going to heaven. So there's a big argument, and the whole judgment line was being held up. God was wondering, what's going on? Why this big holdup in the judgment line? So he came out and said, took Peter off to the side and said, Peter, what's wrong? What's going on? He said, well, this man was so sinful, miserly, that he was definitely supposed to go to hell. But he claims that he gave a donation to the church and for 5 euros, and that he's supposed to go to heaven. So God said, all right. So he takes out his wallet and gives Peter 5 euros and said, give him back the 5 euros and tell him to go to hell. So, we're doing, making so many arrangements for our protection, peace, happiness, etc., in the material world. But the actual peace that we're looking for is not from material security, because we're already transcendental to the material nature. But because we're absorbed in this virtual reality called the material world and believing that we're actually part of it, and because our whole existence is merged into the material energy, our whole consciousness is merged into it, that's our whole experience, we can't imagine anything beyond it. But when we hear the holy name of Krishna, then it actually is of different, it's of the same nature that we have. And therefore it's different. As we're eternal, so Krishna is also eternal. That's why we can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And it's Nitya Nava 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 Yavana, which means it's always fresh. Now it may not be so fresh sometimes, as explained in this verse, because it seems like it's not very sweet. But it's not that the holy name is not sweet, it's that our consciousness is rather cloudy. And therefore, when the consciousness is cloudy, the rays of the holy name do not actually pierce through the clouds of our ignorance or uprise. And therefore it seems like something mundane, or if anything, it may even bring to mind, we become more conscious of all our desires, we become more conscious of our anger. In other words, the holy name, the first thing it does is wake us up a little bit. And because we wake up, we become disturbed. It's just like during the spring, or before spring, during the winter, people take their carpet, sweep the dust underneath the carpet. And they think our house is clean. And then spring comes, and we're going to do some spring cleaning. And so we pick up the carpet, and we start dusting. And then all the dust comes all over the air, and we think, wow, I just started to clean, but it's getting more dirty. Where did all this dust come from? Well, it came from all the dust you hid under the carpet. And now it's coming out, and it's not getting dirtier. You're just actually discovering the dirt that you didn't even know about. So suddenly when we start chanting Hare Krishna, suddenly our mind wakes up and we start all these thoughts that we thought had gone away or didn't exist. Everything starts rising up from within our heart. And we think, oh, I was so happy and peaceful before I started to chant. And now my mind is so disturbed. Maybe I should stop chanting and then I can become peaceful again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Prabhu, wake up. No, I was peaceful. Don't feel a thing. So there is a time called an Artha Vritti. In other words, we're practicing Vajna Kriya. And in Vajna Kriya, there is the first Anishnita Vajna Kriya. The first thing is Utsaha Mayi. We join the Hare Krishna movement and we become so enthusiastic. Generally, Krishna gives some free mercy, some bliss, some awakening of knowledge, and we think, wow, this is fantastic. When I first joined the Hare Krishna movement, when I first went down to the temple, and I think it was June of 1968, they had a little preaching center, and I was chanting Hare Krishna for a week. And there are other devotees there who are chanting Hare Krishna for a month. And I thought, wow, they must be so advanced. It's so blissful this week. I can't imagine what it would be like after a month. And then I talked to the temple president, and he was in the movement for over a year. I said, wow, he must be a pure devotee. An older devotee. He was the older devotee. Because at first, there's so much mercy that we get, we actually think that it should take me at least a couple of weeks before I become a pure devotee. Maybe a month, if it's a slow process. And we become puffed up. We can't believe how enthusiastic I am. Wow, I'm so enlivened. I'm actually so excited about this whole thing. And we see some devotees who've been around for some time, we think, what's wrong with these devotees? Why are they so depressed? This is so fantastic. So that's called utsahamayi. We're overwhelmed with our enthusiasm. But then after some time, we become a senior devotee when we're in the movement for a year. And we start realizing, it is not so easy. I just don't hold up my hands like they have this picture in one of the old Bhagavad Gitas. And it was something about the demigods, they supply all gifts to man. So these householder couple, they're holding up their arms, and the demigods are just throwing Lakshmi down at them. You can try that. Yes, yes. You did it in the picture, why not to me? So Krishna does give mercy, he tries to encourage us, but he also wants us to pick up the rug and start sweeping. So the next thing is, what is that? Alternating thick and thin. So sometimes we're enthusiastic and sometimes we're not so enthusiastic. Sometimes we think, wow, this is fantastic. I'm going to chant all day long. And sometimes we think, wow, we look at our beads and we say, I just can't pick them up. They're just too heavy. I just don't feel like it. What else can I do? I'll finish my rounds, but later. And then we go through other stages, when suddenly we can chant our rounds, 16 every day at least, and we get through them without much trouble. And then we start thinking, I should just give up all these material activities. This is too much of a burden. This is what brings me down. That's why I lose all my enthusiasm. I should just give it all up and go to Vrindavan and make a success in my Hare Krishna life. My life as a Hare Krishna devotee. But then they think, wow, it's so far, Vrindavan, I got to get a ticket, and what am I going to do with my dog? And it's like, it's a real problem. I know what, I'll get a wife, and she can collect. No, but if I get a wife and she'll want kids, then she might ask me to work sometime in the future. I don't really want to work. I'd rather just go to her. Maybe I'll get a free ticket somewhere. No, it's not possible to get a free ticket. Get a wife, do a little work, but then you'll get some kids and let them grow up and they'll support you. You can live in Vrindavan, then you can work in the West and everything will be nice. So this, no, I should just give up everything, and even if I don't go to Vrindavan, I'll go to the temple and I'll just eat prasadam and chant Hare Krishna. So this is called alternating renunciation and attachment. She loves me, she loves me not, she loves me, she loves me not. She doesn't love me. What to do? And then, when one surpasses that, one says, all right, forget it, I'm just going to do whatever I can in devotional service, wherever I am, try to please Krishna, chant my rounds, I don't have to go anywhere, just stay here. But I'm going to give up eating anything on Ekadasis. I'm going to just completely renounce all sense gratification on Ekadasi. I'm going to follow Neeljala Ekadasi 100%. I may have three meals that day, but I'm not going to drink even a drop of water. I'll perfectly follow Neeljala. So then one is fasting on Ekadasi, doesn't eat anything or drink anything, and he looks over all the devotees and thinks, wow, these sinful people, look at that, oh, he's eating something. I knew he was a rascal. My God, look at how much he's drinking. No respect for Ekadasi, no devotion whatsoever. And look at me, I'm following Ekadasi, I'm pure in heart. And there's only 23 hours left and I can eat. Oh, I'm so pure, I can't believe it. Look how I'm suffering for Krishna. 22 hours and 32 minutes. And I can eat. Oh, I'm suffering so much. So it's becoming more attached to the things that we're trying to renounce. And then there's niyama akshama. Finally, we're not so much fanatic. We have some kind of regulated life. We're not trying to renounce the whole world or enjoy the world. We're not so puffed up that I'm God's gift to the Hare Krishna movement. The movement didn't start in 1966 or 65. It actually started when I joined. Krishna just waiting. When is he coming? When is he coming? So one is not so much caught up in this illusory consciousness. One is an illusion, but not this kind of illusion. So then one is trying to follow. I'm going to get up at 2:30 every morning, chant my rounds before Mangal Arati, etc., etc. And for 2 days, one gets up at 2:30 and thinks, ah, just see my prowess. Just see how much of a advancement I made. Maybe I should get up at 1 and chant my rounds. And the next day, 3 o'clock, oh, well, everyone has to slip. Then 3:30, then 4 o'clock, then, oh, I'm going to miss Mangal Arati anyhow, forget it. So one is making a vow all the time to improve one's devotional service. And for some time it is improved, and then one slips. And then finally, after some time, one is actually on a steady platform of pure devotional service. One is chanting his rounds every day, following the principles, coming to the classes. One is very steady, and everyone thinks, oh, this devotee is actually a very advanced devotee. This is a pure devotee. He's kind to everyone. He says the right thing all the time. He's everyone's friend. He never bothers anyone. He is an actual Mahabhagavat. one thinks, yeah, I guess everyone says I'm a Mahabhagavat, I must be a Mahabhagavat. It's like Mr. Patel. He was down the street, and his enemies decided to tell Mr. Patel that actually you become a ghost. So Mr. Patel was walking down the street, and his first man pops out and said, Mr. Patel, what happened to you? You've become a ghost. I become a ghost? What are you talking about? I'm not a ghost. No, no, you become a ghost. So Mr. Patel further walks down the street, and someone else comes along and says, Mr. Patel, what happened? What happened to you? You become a ghost. What are you talking about? I'm not a ghost. And the third time, someone pops out and says, Mr. Patel, you're all white. You become a ghost. What happened? Mr. Patel says to himself, my God, I become a ghost. What happened to me? So similarly, if everyone's telling you you're great, you're wonderful, your voice is like Gandharva, every look and glance is transcendental, you think, yeah, they must be right. I become as good as God. I remember Jagannath Maharaj once told me, he said his mother, when he became a sannyasi, his mother said, oh, that's very good, you become a sannyasi, now you're His Holiness. His mother's a devotee. And then when he became initiating guru, oh, that's even better, now you've become divine grace. So this is called Taranga Rangini, enjoying the small waves of devotion. The material nature makes it such that one has to become very serious if one actually wants to go beyond simply the small waves of devotional service. The material remunerations that come, usually sometimes in the form of donations, sometimes in the form of followers, sometimes in the form of adoration or profit or distinction. And the real business is anartha nivritti. And there's different kinds of anarthas. One of them is arising from our past pious or our past sinful activities. And then there's anarthas arising from seva aparad or dhamma aparad or different types of aparads. But of all the different types of anarthas, the one that most affects us and is most serious is Namaparad. That to chant Hare Krishna and to chant as we go into the up the list from to blessing the devotees who have dedicated their lives in the propagation of the holy name of the Lord. So these all lead to one anartha or aparad, actually aparad, that is inattentiveness. Inattentiveness doesn't mean necessarily we just don't pay attention. It means we don't pay attention to Krishna. That instead of seeing everyone and everything in relation to Krishna, we see everything in relation to how I'm relating to others. If I'm relating to others and to other things in relation to Krishna, then I'll see them in relationship to Krishna. If I become Krishna's instrument and I'm actually acting according to the six loving exchanges with the devotees, then I'll see them in relation to Krishna. And if I see the innocent and I see them as objects of Krishna's mercy and I try to help them, then I'll see them in relation to Krishna. And therefore, when I remember them, I won't forget Krishna, I'll actually remember Krishna. So whether it's considering the names of the demigods as equal to Krishna, or considering Krishna's name is imagination. It has to do with actually seeing things and utilizing them in Krishna's service, especially our body, mind, words, assets, utilizing in Krishna's service to help others become Krishna conscious. And then when I chant Hare Krishna, I'll actually pay attention to the holy name, because there won't be any distraction. And even if some thought comes to my mind, by proper training, Krishna says, apuryamanam ajala pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti yadva tadva kamya pravishanti sarve sa shantim apnoti nakama kami. So this is the stage of nishta. Thoughts may come, but thoughts will go. So this is the stage that pure devotional service begins at, and this is what we have to practice. It is not expected that any of us, we're going to chant Hare Krishna, and suddenly my mind says, I quit. I'm not going to bother you for at least 16 rounds because you're doing something very important. I'll go away. No, the mind says, you're trying to chant Hare Krishna. Let's see how long you last. I have something to tell you. Boo! No, don't say that, Maya. No, you didn't know. Boo! No, okay, I quit. I give up. I'll watch the movies. No, the mind doesn't quit. As a matter of fact, the mind becomes, let's see what you go through now. Chanting Hare Krishna, you think you're going to get away with it, right? good luck. You're in Kali Yuga, boy. So, apuryamana machala pratishtam, just like the river is flowing into the ocean, which is always being filled, but is always still, alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. In other words, if we're actually engaged in Krishna's service with our body and with our mind and with our words, then the desires may come, but we can take shelter of Krishna. Then, as Prabhupada said in the purport, the materialist is one who takes material life as more important than Krishna consciousness. So as aspiring transcendentalists, whatever comes to our mind, it will come. But if we're actually trying to seriously engage in Krishna's service, and we have faith in our service, especially chanting Hare Krishna, because that's when we actually become most conscious, is when we're chanting Hare Krishna. During the day, for instance, we may do so many different services and no one notices, including ourselves, how our consciousness sometimes is changing. As soon as we pick up the beads and start chanting, then we become more conscious of the fact that we have a mind. And the mind is not necessarily our friend. Therefore, sometimes, for instance, another service which is very important, for instance, book distribution. Everyone is a great preacher until they try to do it. You know, to go out and distribute a book, you're standing there on the street, and the first thing the mind says, how did you ever get here? What is this you got in your hand? Who are these people out there? They look pretty mean. I wouldn't stop them, they might bite me. They didn't come out here to get a book. How am I out here? What am I supposed to tell them? What am I supposed to do? Excuse me, sir. Get out of my way, you rat. I knew they were rascals. No respect for a pure devotee. I don't want them to commit any more offenses. I think I'm going home. As I said before, whatever we think is going on, Krishna will reciprocate. If we think, oh, I'm out here, by my prowess, I don't know if I can distribute this book, I don't know what to tell people, whatever. Then, of course, Krishna will send us everyone we want. He'll fulfill our desires, especially when we're trying to preach. When I was distributing, I mean, just to give some gross examples, when we were at Chicago Airport distributing books, we had this move that World War III is coming. We were told by our authorities that World War III is coming and that we had to distribute these books somehow or another. And we were quite enthusiastic to distribute the books, but we had this idea that it was more a war than a book distribution. We were at war with the Karmis. Hook a crook, literally. And what happened is, because of our mentality, Krishna sent all these people to disturb us. Because we were disturbing them, so Krishna reciprocated and sent so many people to disturb us. So there were fights of the year going on between the demigods and the demons in the airport. Later on, when we didn't have that mentality, when we kind of cooled down, I remember distributing, and everyone was quite friendly. When we suddenly stopped antagonizing people, for some reason or another, they actually became friendly. I remember one devotee, he would never go on book distribution, because he had it in his mind that if I go out and distribute books, that someone's going to hit me. So he meditated on this for 2 years. No one could force him to go out. Finally, they forced him to go out on book distribution. And the first person he went up to shake his hand, took his fist and slammed him in the face and knocked him out. So Krishna is so kind, he fulfills everyone's desires. For 2 years he meditated on that. And then he came out and Krishna fulfilled his desire. But if we desire, I remember I was distributing books in Houston, Texas in 1971. And Houston, Texas was known as the Rednecks. The first time I went out to distribute a book in Houston, Texas, within 5 minutes the police came and arrested me. Put me in jail with the other devotees, two other devotees, Vishnu John Maharaj and a devotee named Srinath. And the policeman was, because I was chanting Hare Krishna, he was just about to hit me with his gun when I stopped chanting. Not the friendliest bunch of people you want to run into. But anyhow, after some time, there was a trial on television, and then Krishna arranged it that we won the case, and they allowed us to distribute books. But we go out like this in Houston, Texas at that time, as devotees, and we had no idea how to stop people. There was no training at that time. Vishnu Jai Maharaj used to stand there with the Back to Godhead magazine like this, because he learned from the Jehovah's Witnesses. So if he sold one magazine a day, it was quite a big thing. But in any case, I was out there, and we needed the money just to survive, what to speak of anything else. Saving the conditioned souls. We were trying to save ourselves from hunger. And I couldn't figure out how to... I mean, when I was first distributing books, we used to run people down with enthusiasm. And so they just get rid of us, they give us a dollar, take it back to God. But this was not possible in Houston at that time. So I got this technique, pray to Krishna. I would just stand there and pray, please Krishna, come and take a book. You know, I just pray, and then suddenly someone would pop in from nowhere and say, what's that in your hand? And then I'd sell the book and just pray, please send someone else. And that way we distributed back to God. And at the same time we developed faith that my prowess is equal to zero. And prayers to Krishna was a lot more powerful than whatever my prowess should be. And even later on when we learned how to distribute books, I mean all the techniques that we learned, still as soon as we became a little proud and thought, now I know how to distribute books, then no one would come. Couldn't distribute, you know, even if you gave the books away, people wouldn't take them. And it seems, oh, all right, Krishna, I surrender again. I don't really know anything. Please help me. Then people will start, oh, yeah, what's that book? I was looking for that book. So we, similarly, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, if we're actually in a prayerful mood, we're actually trying to absorb ourselves, either in our service, because we absorb ourselves in our service during the day, then it's less likely we'll remember some maya when we're chanting Hare Krishna. If we go to the movies, watch some spiritual movie like Avatar, then when we're chanting Hare Krishna, what will we see? Krishna's pastimes? Then we'll probably see the movie Avatar. Hare Krishna, oh yeah, this, wow. Hare Krishna, that was a good movie. So, but if we absorb our minds during the day in devotional service, then we'll remember Krishna when we're chanting Hare Krishna. And even the thoughts are coming, if we're actually paying attention and getting some pleasure from the chanting, or at least some knowledge from the chanting, then the thoughts will come and the thoughts will go. And if we remind ourselves that I should actually listen, and then these thoughts are not very important, then eventually maya will just go away, because maya, you run up to a tree and you embrace the tree, and you say, let me go, let me go, let me go. And someone walks by and says, sir, I don't want to disturb you, but actually you're calling out for the tree to let you go, but the tree's not holding on to you, you're holding on to the tree. No, no, tell him to give me, let me off, give me out. Sir, actually you just have to let go of the tree and you'll be all right. You and your philosophy, go away. So similarly, the material energy is not holding on to us, we're holding on to the material nature. And if we just let it go, the whole world won't collapse. It's not that our anxieties are holding up the universe. I'm stopping to think, oh, the ceiling is going to fall down. I better start thinking again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, it's all right. Oh, just see, it's still up there. No, we just chant and listen. And even though so many things that are disturbing by we're used to being disturbed by, they come through our mind, then they'll simply not disturb us. And then we can actually enter it deeper. Krishna will actually see that this person is serious. I can actually allow him to enter. I'll reveal myself more. That this person actually wants to understand what my presence is like, what my form is like, etc. They're not interested in something else. If we're interested in Krishna, then Krishna will reciprocate. And if we're more interested in other things than Krishna, Krishna will also reciprocate. Vihaya kamayat sarvam bhumam charati nisriha nirmamo nirahankara sashanti madhigashati. Therefore, most of us, that means, by the way, vihaya kamayat sarvam, those who give up desire for material enjoyment, give up all kinds of desires, vihaya kamayat sarvam, pumam charati nisbriha, who give up all attachment to the results of their work, and are devoid of false ego, they can alone achieve real peace. So that's the field when we're chanting Hare Krishna, that's the opportunity to actually become free from all these attachments. We shouldn't feel an anxiety that these things are coming to our mind. We should see it as a great opportunity just to let them come and go. That they're coming, that means that they're there, but they can also go. not to grab hold of them and then try to expand the scenario and meditate on them rather than meditating on Krishna. And by doing that, as Krishna says, well, actually, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it was said that Vishan Mahagne Purushara Darshana, Queen Kunti is praying that you've saved us from the poison. Bhima was fed poison, the Pandavas were put into a house, was set on fire. So as we know, she was praying for these disturbances. Why? Because when she was disturbed by these things, then she actually focused her mind more on Krishna. And by focusing her mind upon Krishna, she was becoming more and more conscious of Krishna. When we come to the Hare Krishna movement, we're generally faced with so much distress from the material world that we sincerely took shelter of the Krishna consciousness movement. And therefore Krishna was able to reciprocate with us in such a way is that we actually experience Krishna consciousness in a deeper and deeper way. But then after some time, we become familiar. All the devotees don't look like they came from Vaikuntha anymore. We realize they're as much as rascals I am. The prasadam, it tastes still good, but we don't honor it. It's not so as much exciting as it used to be. I don't have the same taste for chanting. So why is that? Because we become familiar. And then as soon as we become familiar, we still want the same happiness, but we start looking for happiness in different ways. Therefore, Queen Kunti says that Janmaishwarya Shruta Shri Bir Edamanat Madakumam Naivahadevadatum Vai Kvam Akinchana Gochara. Generally, the taste of the material existence, that is, if we're not in anxiety, if we're not worried about our future, our security, whatever, then we try to make advancement in different ways. To get some better material position, which nowadays used to be janma, if you were born in a certain family, but nowadays born in a certain country or have a certain status of life, aishvarya, some money in the bank, shruta, some material knowledge, some know-how, and aishvarya, shruta, shribya, and some personal influence or beauty. So anyone who's thinking that if I improve these things, then my material existence will improve, and I'll become happy and more peaceful. So Queen Kunti said that we're already absorbed in the material concept of life, we're already identify ourselves with these gross and subtle material bodies, and if we make an endeavor to improve our material circumstances, instead of just being intoxicated by material existence and forgetful of our spiritual existence, then we become completely crazy. And then we'll run after these things, which will never satisfy anyone, never give peace and security to anyone in the long run, and disappoint us like they've done before we came to the Hare Krishna movement. Therefore, to give up this idea that material progress is progress, then one can actually start executing devotional service. And when we chant Hare Krishna, it won't only be our anxiety, but it also will give up the aspiration to so-called improve whatever our material circumstances are. If we can get a bigger house, or for a sannyasi, now I'm in this little house, next week I'll be in a big house. So in the little house, I have a little devotional service. But when I get to the big house, then I'll have a big devotional service. Now I have so many followers, but if I get 10 times more followers, then I'll become 10 times more Krishna conscious. Now I have so much appreciation, but if I get more appreciation, then I'll appreciate Krishna more and everyone else more for giving me their appreciation. No one has to give that up and simply become appreciative of the fact that we have the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna. That we have the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of all of material and spiritual creations, has so kindly agreed to come in the form of His holy name. And due to the mercy of my spiritual master, and due to the mercy of Krishna, now I can chant Hare Krishna. So anyone who's chanting Hare Krishna, they're at a very special position, a very special opportunity, very rare in this universe, especially in Kali Yuga. So we have this appreciation. Sorry about that. Thank you very much. Grantaraj, Nectar of Instruction, Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Gaur Prananda.